Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
Five 3 106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cent. It is time to solve all your problems. Not that you have many problems at the moment, I would have thought. We are joined once again, I'm pleased to say, by Declan Buckley and Amanda Brunker. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
I'm sitting in my car.
I hope
you can hear me okay.
Park, Amanda.
Yeah, well, we can't hear you with Declan talking over you. Are you in your car? Did you say?
Yeah, I live in one of these stupid houses that you can't get any reception in, so I hope you can hear me here. So
oh, no, you're loud and clear. Your car is fantastic.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, great.
For the old reception. Right, okay, so if you're both sitting comfortably and, you know, nothing else to do but sit comfortably at the moment, here's your first question. With all the issues that we're now seeing with COVID-19 outbreak, I'd like a little bit of advice over the coming weeks and months, please. We are a household of four adult people. Mother, father, two adult children, male and female. Yesterday, I told my daughter I didn't want her boyfriend in the house while the current situation, re the pandemic, is unfolding. Well, all hell broke loose with both of my children saying I'm way overreacting. But I thought I was doing the right thing as I was following the advice of the health professionals of social distancing. Do you have any advice for your listeners about how to navigate this type of scenario for the months to come? Amanda.
Thank you, because we can't look at each other just to say, okay, you go. Tell you, I just got word that my friend's partner, he's Italian, and he just got word that his mother is now in intensive care in Italy, as is his father. His father's been in for a couple of days now, and he's very, very worried. They're critical at the moment. And all I can say is, this is an invisible war, and all we have to do is stay indoors and stay isolated for a little time. We don't actually have to pick up guns. We don't have to go off and fight anybody. We literally need to stay home, listen to the radio, clean our house, clean out our cupboards. And you know what? It's a real inconvenience, but they have to explain to their kids that this has to be done. It's really, really serious. And when you're seeing things online, messages from people in ICU saying how sick they are, I just think it is a small penance for us to just stay away from others and just be mindful that it's for the greater good. And the quicker that we isolate ourselves and kind of, what is the term, flatten the curve, the quicker we can all get back to normal. I love to have a funny kind of witty kind of take on things, but I'm very serious about this. And I just wish people would distance themselves better, because I don't think the message is getting through.
What can this dad say to his kids though, Declan? Because obviously they're you know, they don't see what the problem is.
Well, yeah, but look, the first thing is that the kids are talking about an overreaction. Taking the advice of health professionals on social distancing is not and will never be an overreaction, because even if it turns out by some complete freak of luck, it turns out that the numbers start plateauing. I'm not saying that I do think that's going to happen. I'm just saying that if it does happen, that's because people are following expert advice on physical distancing and isolation and quarantine and all that. That's the thing that, you know, as Amanda was saying, is the thing that we have to do in order to, it's the only thing we can do short of having a vaccine or a cure when it comes to a virus. Now, I think in general terms, following good advice is hard for people, because even if it's the right advice for the problem at hand, if it kind of comes into conflict with other people's, you know, wants or desires, you know, if I do this, then I can't do that. Then they start to play a little game in their head. The conflicts of interest start to play out. I think as this pandemic is progressing and the consequences of allowing this virus to kind of spread becomes more obvious, I think all of the kind of the lesser conflicts of interest have started to dwindle away. I mean, we're at the stage where our government is deliberately putting our economy into a recession. So forgive me if I think your kids not having their best social life right now is a little bit insignificant. In fact, I'd be going way further than that. You know, it's not just about not letting boyfriends and best friends and 10 friends and whatever friends into the house. I'd be making your social isolation circle so small and impenetrable as it can be, locking it down. Because the best advice I heard, and somebody online put it this way, they said, if we act like you've got the virus, act like everyone else has the virus, we'll all start acting in the proper way to stop this virus spreading. I mean, yeah, as Amanda said, I know it's hard, it's frustrating, but it is the only thing that we've got. And the reality is, you know, if this person's, and if people like this person's kids refuse to take this seriously, the number of cases and deaths are going to continue to increase. And if that happens, like, the government is going to take it out of their hands entirely with tighter restrictions. I mean, you know, I heard somebody talking about a curfew. And you know, all I can say is, you know, curfew. Yeah, I mean, curfew on your kids as well. Sorry, that was my attempt at a joke.
Yes.
But it's not very good.
Sorry.
Sorry, I forgot to laugh there.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Yeah, it's true. The thing, no, but I don't know what it is, like, because they don't seem to be, like, and these are grown-ups. At the weekend, loads of people went out to, you know, went. I was talking to them. Connemara was thronged with, you know, people going out for a jaunt during the day, and Howth was thronged.
I think people are taking the distances to a minimum, as opposed, they're taking it to a maximum. They're thinking that that's the most that they need to do, is to stay 1.5 meters away.
They're not even doing that.
The least effort. Yeah. They should be doing that's the least you can get away with. You should be like sequestering yourself away and keeping your loved ones away from as many people as possible.
Well, that, you know what? You can still see people. Like, I mean, yesterday I went over to visit my mum and we sat in the garden miles apart from each other, but it was still really nice. The weather was nice. We were able to sit out. Like, we didn't hug, we didn't embrace. My husband is still working. He's still kind of, you know, meeting public. And even though he's being really, really careful because he is an asthmatic and I'm really, really worried about him, but he's taking all the precautions he can. But, like, I mean, he is where... Now, I know I normally social distance from my husband anyway. I like to have my own bedroom, but at the moment, because he is still out working and he's kind of on the front line of things at the moment, he comes in, he literally... don't get excited, he strips off all his clothes for me, and he goes straight into the shower. I put everything into the wash, including his runners, his gloves, all his work stuff, and literally I feed him. We kind of say hello to each other. We don't even talk because he's too tired, and he goes straight to bed and he does it all again the next day. I'm not sharing a bed with him. I'm not giving him a kiss. I'm not giving him a hug. And we just need to try and keep each other safe. And listen, you know what? It's just a short time, lads. And the great thing is we have mobile phones, we've got Skype, we've got Zoom. You know, like, there's plenty to keep ourselves occupied. And if you're lucky to still have a job and be able to work from home, even better.
Let me read out a few comments from people. Can they not meet outside in social distance? Why does he have to come into the house? Well, obviously he wants sleepovers is what he wants. He needs to be careful that she doesn't run off to his house and God knows what she could bring back into the house. Now, that's an interesting scenario. Mm-hmm. If she did that, should the dad let her back in?
No.
Let her stay out there. Narrowing the size and making it impenetrable is, you know, of your social circle, because there are a lot of people, you know, Amanda was talking about her mum there. I'm not sure whether your mum lives on her own, but there's a lot of people living on their own. And so isolation is really, really hard on them. But some 20-year-old not getting the chance, you know, to hang out with, you know, their coffee buddies or whatever, that's a different level of sacrifice that you're talking about there. Mm-hmm. I think and the consequences of putting your parents at risk. Like, that just seems so dumb and frustrating.
Yeah,
it just enrages me.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I
know.
I think there's a lot of people in denial still about the severity of this. But it'd be an interesting thing that if he institutes, if you leave the house, you've just married him. That's the new rule. That might give her pause.
Yeah, exactly. Get out and not come back in again.
Exactly.
Right. Next question is, my partner and I had to cancel our wedding over the coronavirus. I'm devastated. Everything was ready to go. We've now lost out on so much, including what that day would mean for us as a couple, but also a lot of money. It's just a mess. Now, my partner says, let's just postpone it indefinitely. He says we can't afford it now. No one knows what's going to happen with this virus. Let's just wait a few years. When he told me that, it was like a punch to the gut. I worked so hard to make our day the most perfect day. I did most of the organising and booking. It's like he doesn't care anymore. I know we lost some money, but we could do something in a few months on a smaller scale. I also want to wear my dress this year, as I've worked hard to fit into it. I still want to fit in it this year. I'm so upset by him. but he's adamant that it won't be this year. It annoys me that he says this, as if his word is final. I haven't told my parents this yet, as it will be upset and angry too. It was their day too. I don't know what to do. He's not budging on this.
Girl, you dodged a bullet. Listen, you know what? My heart goes out to all the people who had big celebrations coming up. We have friends. I still actually know people who were young enough to get married, but they were supposed to get married the start of May. They literally just had to cancel their wedding. There's loads of people who are heartbroken, and it must be awful. But if he's been such an a-hole about it, you know what? You might have just gotten off lightly. If he's just totally refusing. No, come on. If he's been so horrible to her about it, the least you could do is go, you know what, be hurt about losing the money, be angry. But on the grand scale of things, you know what, there's a lot of people hurting right now. There's people who are losing their jobs. Hopefully this couple still have work and they're still kind of earning some money. So it's not the worst thing that can happen. But they've got to be.
You're being a little bit unfair on this guy, Amanda.
He's throwing all his toys out of the pram. He's been horrible to his
wife. According to the letter written by the person who doesn't agree with them, But I love getting into a dress as much as anybody else. But here's the thing, you know, just like you can't force a bride into a dress that doesn't fit her, you can't force a groom into a wedding that he doesn't want to have. That's the bottom line there. And yeah, okay, whatever. His reasons, though, aren't that he's not into her. His reasons are that there are other things going on right now that are making the situation difficult. And some people can't cope with doing fun things while there's a lot going on in the background. Mm. And the really, really interesting thing about the way this letter was written was, and this goes back to those conflicting interests things, she's talking about her dress and her big day and her guests being there and all this kind of stuff. And not once has she really mentioned it from what it meant to mean to him. She's kind of upset for her not being able to get into her dress and her big day out and, money not being lost and all that. And she also even talks about it being her parents. But I think that's just a back of her own argument. If her parents are normal parents right now, they don't want to go to a wedding because they know hanging out in a social scenario is not a good idea. We don't know how long this virus thing is going to last. That's what this guy is saying. He's saying, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how much into this.
He's being harsh and cold and unsupportive.
But is he not also saying that, I mean, even when we're allowed, come walk blinking into the sunlight again, the world will be in a worldwide recession. We'll be broke. And so maybe he's saying maybe it's not the time to be blowing money, even on something small, because every penny will count.
Exactly. Yeah, Amanda, but I don't want to come hard down on gender roles here, but she's playing the happy bride organising her lovely wedding, which is a very Irish Brides magazine kind of role to be having. He's playing the guy who has to sit back and let her make all the decisions. But once they're married, he's going to be the guy in that kind of a role play scenario who has to be the happy caretaker, and he'll be the one that has to provide for his wife and his family. And he's thinking all these things, going, wait a second, let's save our money and use it on the important things.
Declan, I have to stop you there. You're being so sexist. Like he has to, has to be minded and protected, and he's her warrior. Give me a break. The guy is being cold, insensitive. All you need to do is go, you know what, love? Let's see how things go. Instead of going, there's no way we're doing it. If money was a problem,
we can't afford to do it now. Can we just wait maybe a few years?
No, he's telling her no way.
I love you and I don't want to get married.
But hang on a second. Getting married isn't about the big thing anyway. It should be about the couple. So what's wrong with doing it on a smaller scale? Unless he's one of those Irish guys who just wants a big booze up for his mates and hanging out. I don't agree with you at all, Declan.
Wow. Yeah. that escalated unexpectedly. Well, one of her main reasons was she seemed to be saying, I can only fit into my dress now. I don't think I can hold out for much longer before I don't know what's going to happen. And that seems to be like it has to happen while I can still wear the dress.
That's why I reacted badly to her, is because it's about her dress and it's not about him.
No, it's not. I think that's just one of those things, Declan. I say that's just a
I think both of these people are transferring their anxiety into the scenario, and the scenario is becoming.
We all are. I think we're all transferring our anxiety onto this pair. Right, okay, let's move on. Let's move on to a less contentious one. I know, a racist. I have a childhood friend of over 22 years who has lots of lovely qualities and has always been an incredible friend to me over the years. She's seen me through several miscarriages, a divorce, also helped me celebrate the good things in my life. However, in the while, I've noticed she has become increasingly racist and intolerant of other people. She's making awful sweeping statements that are hateful at times. She's moved to the UK about 3 years ago, and this seems to have impacted on her views. Whenever she says something I don't like or agree with, I tell her I don't think that's fair, or that I don't agree, and then I try to change the subject. But I don't have much success in getting through to her or changing her views. In fact, she's getting worse. I'm really sad she's become so hateful. I love her. She's been a great friend, but she's turning into an awful person. How can I get through to her?
Oh, go on, Declan, you take this.
Okay.
Off you go.
Declan says, she doesn't sound so bad. What's the big deal?
Look, obviously, I think the initial attempt that this person's made with their friend has been the correct one, which is not to come in really heavy and sort of try to argue the content. Because, look, we're all, as Amanda and I have just given a masterclass in, we can like each other but have slightly different opinions about things, and that shouldn't destabilize the structure of our relationships. However, there are certain kind of things, there are certain kind of issues that can kind of grow, and they can start to embody the person, and then the person that they used to be becomes lost in their kind of whatever, let's call it bigotry or prejudice or whatever it is. In those situations, I think sometimes you do need to have to do a kind of an intervention. You have to let people know that the consequences of these views, however they've been formed, whyever they've been formed, are actually having an impact on your relationship with them. Because it'd be interesting to see how for these two people, how that conversation might go. Because either it's going to be, oh, I've been radicalized by some particular group of people I'm hanging out with, or it's going to be like, oh, I never thought about that. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. And, you know, and you have to kind of keep slightly prodding at these things before you make any kind of crazy decision that you're going to just, sever your contact forever. We all have family members who are like that, you know, who have completely different political views to us. And sometimes in the end, you just decide, I'm just not going to go there with them. You know, it's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a bit like saying, you know, my husband or my partner or whatever is the one. Like, I mean, just because you've been with them forever doesn't mean you need to stay with them to the death, to eternity. And I think friends are kind of the same. Sometimes friendships, which have been fabulous and great, and you've had so many good times and been through bad times together, like, sometimes you just grow apart. And that's okay. Just because you've been friends with somebody for 20-odd years doesn't mean when you do start to grow apart, you have to stay friends with these people. And while people are all quirky, I'm like that myself, and I'm sure I annoy my friends well from time to time, but there are things that are game changers. And I think for somebody like myself, if I had a friend who grew extremely racist or bigoted or in, you know, defamatory towards any kind of minority or group or whatever, I'd have to say, listen, this is a deal breaker for me. I can't be friends with you anymore because you just upset me. That's okay. You know, nothing's supposed to last forever, even friendships. And while it can be heartbreaking, you know, if this person isn't enriching your life and it's been going on for an extended period of time, and if they're not listening to your ways, it's okay sometimes just to don't make a big deal out of it. And I've said this before, I'm a big fan of it, but ghosting is the way forward.
Yeah, there you go. That's a nice, simple, clean solution. Just have her killed.
No, I didn't say have her killed. I just said just start to ignore her.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, well, she's, you know, she's away in England now anyway, so you don't have to see her for a long time.
Brexit. Nobody wanted Brexit. But I think we're all kind of happy about it now.
A lot of British people wanted Brexit, obviously. The ones who voted for it. Anyway.
But they can stay over there now.
They can stay there
million.
Now. Before I leave you go, Declan, how are your parents getting on?
They're good. They're at home and they've been in self-isolation for a couple of weeks. But, like, it's really hard because, you know, I've been doing grocery shopping for them and popping up, but kind of talking to them through the sliding door I feel like I'm visiting them at the zoo. Like in a nice enclosure, not just a cage enclosure. But like a nice enclosure, you know, the ones that the kids want to be at. But they're finding it boring at the moment. But as I said to them yesterday, being bored is good because it could get really, really worse. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, and they're taking it very seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that old curse about living in interesting times. It's just too interesting. Yeah. Some boredom, please. Amanda Brunker and Declan Buckley, thank you both very much. Stay safe. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.